that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Grayson's Gossip. I'm joined by Daniel Clark and Jamie Hawkins.
Hello.
Plenty to chat about with the City this week. I guess first place to start, the win over Cheltenham. Jamie, a good way to bounce back from a pulsating defeat at Lincoln.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to have gone to Lincoln myself. It was a great game, sell-out crowd, fantastic atmosphere, and you know, it's obviously disappointing to always lose a game, but you can't leave. Well, no one really left with feeling dejected after that. I think it was a good performance. It was just three defensive errors, really. Played some good stuff at times, scored good goals. Taylor's was a great equaliser, and you know, with Story hitting the bar, a couple of other chances, could have been a different result, but then Lincoln had some chances themselves. So it's always important at this stage when you do lose a game to bounce back straight away, and I think that's what City have been really good at this season, you know, bouncing back from disappointing defeats and in style as well. And you know, the Cheltenham game, it wasn't the best performance of the season, but as Paul Tisdale said the last week or two, that he doesn't really care about performances, it's all about the points on the board. And you know, didn't start perhaps that great, and Cheltenham took the lead kind of out of nowhere, I suppose, but then you know, got back in style, and you know, never really panicked that we weren't going to win the game. Always felt they were patient in their build-up and in the play, played some good stuff again, and you know, when the goal came, it didn't really surprise me, to be honest. I scored quite a few late goals this season, which has been impressive. It was a great header from Story, who's been magnificent since he's come in. He's looked so calm, composed, and you know, he's definitely one for the future, isn't he? He's got a few games under his belt now. We'll probably play for the rest of the season unless Moore Taylor and Troy Brown come back. But yeah, it's been a good weekend, I think, you know, albeit that Lincoln defeat, very much a case of what could have been. A win would have put some distance between City and Lincoln, but now I think it's 6 points now to wait, so it's looking good, you know, at least for the playoffs, if not automatic promotion with that game in hand still to come.
Dan, as James said, you know, solid if unspectacular performance.
Yeah, it's sort of watching the game, and it always felt that City were the better side and were always likely to go on to win. They never really looked in too much danger in defence, despite Cheltenham hitting the bar twice, but then so did Exeter, or hit the woodwork twice as well. So it was always just sort of, you felt they were going to go on and win the game, they were going to get the winner, but you were sort of starting to struggle for ideas. Okay, where actually is this goal going to come from? It was a very workmanlike side put out there, with sort of James on the wing and Boateng out on the left wing, or Tilson played out on the left wing for a bit in the first half. So, and then obviously Simpson and Stockley up front, a lot of long balls going up. So I think both of them played actually really well up front there, but sort of it was no real pace in behind, no sort of, you know, trickery to run through players. So it was almost a case of sitting there and watching, and you can go, well, Exeter are the better side here, but how exactly are they going to get this goal? And at this point, obviously, you know, eventually, you know, they got the two goals, one from a really good cross into the box, and the other one from a really, you know, a good corner right into the danger area that Story heads in. So it was a little bit unspectacular in how they got the goals, but I think it, definitely they're fully deserving of the 3 points on the day and to pick up the points. But you know, it wasn't a most spectacular game. I don't think it will be a game that will be remembered at the end of the season, let alone much after that. But they did what they needed to do. They bounced back after the defeat to Lincoln, and you know, kept up the pressure on Wickham above them, and stretch the gap on the sides around them. So you've been, you know, now looking, you've got that, you know, you've got another, got the win, you've sort of been looking ahead, okay, we've got two tricky away trips to come the next 2 weeks, you know, try and pick, you know, get something at Cambridge, get something at Accrington, and then set it up for, you know, the last four games, three of them at home to sides who either have got nothing to play for or are in the relegation zone. So you know, you probably were looking, you needed minimum 10 from 12 points for the four remaining home games, and getting the 3 points against Cheltenham is the best way to start that.
Jamie, two great stories to come from the game. Obviously, Robbie Simpson, you know, coming back from injury, starting his first game in over a year and scoring a really nice goal. And then Jordan Story scoring his second winner in four matches, you know. I mean,
yeah,
it's a really, really nice suffer.
Yeah, Simpson was fantastic, wasn't he? He was absolutely brilliant. You know, he came off against Lincoln and he was a real handful, and he's been like that a few times when he's come off the bench this season. Obviously he's been hampered with that horrible injury last season, but you know, Tisdale likes to throw him on with the last 10-15 minutes of the game going, just to be a handful, and he's proven that again. He did that at Lincoln, you know, he's winning every header and he gets stuck in with tackles as well, which you like. But yeah, to see him start on Saturday, or Monday, sorry, was surprising, I think. It raised a few eyebrows, given how little time he's played. But he took it with both hands, and like I said, he was brilliant. It was a really good goal as well, you know. Quite great awareness to, you know, pounce on, you know, a lovely ball from Piers Sweeney. And yeah, he put in a pretty much a faultless performance, won every single header that was going. You know, it was questionable when you saw the team line up with Stockley up front as well, with another big striker, but I think that sort of helped Stockley in a way, because, you know, he's been quite isolated lately when he plays up front on his own, and it was working well with Matt Jay, so he needs that strike partner. And Simpson did it well, and yeah, Jordan Story again is brilliant. I've only seen him play a couple of times at Lincoln as well, and yeah, he's just brilliant. 20, and like I said, he looks like he's been playing for a lot longer than that. And you know, another makeshift back four, obviously Dean Moxey playing at centre back. I thought he's had a good Easter weekend. I thought he's probably arguably one of City's better players at Lincoln, despite conceding three goals. But you know, he did well again on Monday. You know, and I think a lot of fans, when they saw Jordan Mortain and Troy Brown injured, were fearing the worst a bit. But it's good to see that you've got that, you know, plenty of backup, with Troy Hemble as well, of course. And yeah, it was a great win against Cheltenham, and great performances as well, because obviously Tisdale had to change up a bit with two games in 4 days. And yeah, it's great that to have those resources available, you know, a strong bench as well with you know, Ryan Loft, Ryan Brunt on there coming back, you know, Matt Jay as well coming on. So yeah, it's really good to have such a strong squad, because in previous months and seasons, you know, if you lose one or two players, it does leave a lot of fans worried. But yeah, Story's been brilliant.
Just on Story, Anthony Beveridge says, for me, Jordan Story is our best defender. He's a complete package and will only get better. If we had ambition, he's put that in quote marks, do we look to keep these players and build a team that could be sustainable at the next level instead of selling and stagnating? Daniel, thoughts on that?
I think it's a little early to say Jordan Story's the best defender at the club so far. Obviously, what we've seen, you know, he's had, you know, three or four really good games at the start of his career, and you know, he looked very composed on Monday. Sort of dealt with the threat of Mohamed Issa, and you know, quite comfortably, really, almost essentially marked him out, and also had him, you know, sniffed out the game. And obviously he's been, you know, Issa nominated for, you know, one of the players of the season for the EFL League Two, and you come away from that on Monday and thinking, really, how is he one of the best three players in the league? And that's, you know, testament to the way that, you know, Story and Moxey basically just dealt with him and cut him out of the game. He does look quite composed, he looks, you know, pretty confident in possession. you know, dealt with the balls in the air well. But obviously, you know, it's still very early. I mean, you know, four games is, you know, it's not a huge sort of, you know, basis to, you know, to judge on. You know, you've seen players have four good games and then do nothing ever since. But he does look very promising. He does look as if, you know, he is one for the future, and sort of gives, you know, extra, or sort of gives him, you know, Paul Tisdale a few issues around, you know, centre backs really, because almost got an abundance of them available. Because, you know, I think we all, you know, Jordan Mortale and Troy Brown probably are still the best centre backs, but they're both injured at the minute and both have missed, you know, a large part of this season for injury. I mean, Dean Moxie, you know, looks really comfortable at centre half and looks, you know, easily can play in that position. And you've got, you know, Pierce Sweeney, who's slotted in there occasionally. You've got Luke Kroll, Danny Seaborn, Troy Archibald Henville. So you're almost looking at it and thinking, okay, we've got, you know, 6, 7, 8 good centre halves here. I mean, you've got to get them in the team somehow. So it's almost, you know, at this point with the injuries, it's, you know, almost making the decision for him. But I think if, you know, Jordan Mortale and Troy Brown both suddenly were fit for the trip to Cambridge, I don't think we're expecting Mortale to play again this season. Troy Brown's just coming back from injury. Probably Jordan Story actually drops back to the bench at this stage, because you're going. I don't think he's better than those two at this point. But, you know, long term, you know, you can sort of see, okay, right, maybe next season you slot him into, you know, as part of the defence, you know, as a more regular option. You know, on the ambition question, I think Paul Tisdale will want to keep him at the club. Like, presumably he wanted to keep David Wheeler and Ollie Watkins and Ethan Ampadu over the summer. But it's one of those that if clubs higher up the league with more money, a bigger budget come in, then it's very difficult to turn down offers for players, particularly if you're a League Two club run by a trust, so you've not got a big benefactor who can keep pumping money into the club on extra. They have got some money from transfer sales and windfalls and then the cup runs and being on TV, but they've still got to be looking at the long term future of the club. And, you know, the likes of Ollie, you know, Watkins and Wheeler, you know, that's, you know, I think we're looking 1.8 million roughly for Watkins. You know, that's just money that no League Two club could turn down at all if something comes in. So no matter how much, you know, ambition you've got, you know, they could have a plan in 5 years to be in the Premier League, but you can't turn that money down at this stage. So I think you've got to be looking at, you know, okay, Jordan Story, he's been really positive what we've seen so far. You can look at him, okay, this, he can sit in the back four or the back three or a back five, whatever he plays for the next few seasons. But, you know, there is still the issue that if a bigger club comes in and offers money for him, you're probably going to have to, you know, say, you know, take the money. But also, if Jordan Story does become Exeter's best defender very, very quickly, and, you know, only gets better and becomes the complete package, you know, he's not going to want to be playing in League Two football for much longer. He's going to be wanting playing, you know, League One, Championship, you know, and above. So you kind of feel that, you know, if you want to keep these kind of players, you've got to get promoted either this season or next season, or they'll be moving on, like, you know, like Watkins and Wheeler have done to bigger clubs higher up the league.
Jamie, I mean, my issue with this question, in a way, is it's assuming that there are going to be clubs interested in Story over the summer anyway. He's only made 7 league appearances, you know, and, you know, I don't think it's, you know, I think it's too early to label him City's best defender when Jordan Mortale's at the club. And, you know, he's a similar sort of type of player to Story in a way. I mean, and he's not attracted any sort of big bid in the time he's been at City, despite years and years of the sort of performances that Jordan Story is putting in.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think there's been one or two little rumours about Mortale being linked with a move, but, you know, nothing's been said or in concrete, really. And Story, best defender, he's got a long way to go yet, but he's certainly started as well as Jordan's done, Mortale. You know, I do like how Paul Tisdale's treating him very similar to other young players like Ethan Ampadu, Ollie Watkins, very much keeping their feet on the ground and you know, trying to play down any attention towards him from, you know, the as exciting the player he is. You know, all the fans have got excited about him already. And I think Jordan himself, you know, has basically said it's, you know, not affecting his game. He's just looking to get selected for Cambridge on Saturday. But, yeah, it's far too early to be saying he's, you know, going to be moving on to bigger things this summer. He's going to take quite a few games and a good run of games as well. And it'll be interesting to see when Troy Brown comes back and Jordan Moore-Taylor comes back. What does Tisdale do then? Because he's been playing so well. Does he, you know, stick faith with him, the youngster, because he's done so well? Or does he, you know, go with what he trusts, which is Moore-Taylor and Brown, who have, you know, been a formidable partnership this season? So it'll be interesting to see what happens when those two do come back this season, if at all, with Moore-Taylor perhaps missing the rest of the campaign. But yeah, I think it's far too early to be talking about, you know, a possible transfer. But I guess on the other hand, when, you know, the fans see a young player coming through the academy and into the first team, we've seen it many times that they'll have a good season or two and then perhaps move on to bigger things. So, you know, I guess it's a compliment in a way that, you know, you're already looking at Jordan's story as a potential future, you know, player that will be playing in a higher division in the future. But yeah, it's far too early at the moment, and let's just enjoy seeing, you know, another great find from the academy doing well.
So I caught up with Jordan Story after the win over Cheltenham. Here's what I had to say.
A 2-1 win, he has to be delighted.
Yeah, it was a great result from the boys. We really dug in, and I think, you know, we got our rewards towards the end of the game. So yeah.
And another vital goal from you as well.
Yeah, it's good, always good to get on the score sheet, and especially to score the winner as well. Delighted with it.
And sort of coming at that point in the game where it was really sort of tense as well, you know, it was a vital goal to got vital stand to get the goal.
Yeah, exactly. I think it calmed our nerves a bit, and, you know, we've seen the game out really well.
And just talk me through it, because obviously Jaden Stockley had a similar chance from a corner just about 5 minutes early, hadn't he? And then you sort of went one better and buried it.
Yeah, I think, you know, I've got in front of my man well, and I've sort of just hit the ball sweetly and it's just gone in the back of the net.
And that's a couple you got now, and you obviously hit the post against Lincoln as well. I mean, is that a part of your game you've really been working on?
At times, yeah. I mean, there's, you know, sometimes I go in the, I'm in the right places at the right time, and, you know, get them in. Just got to keep on banging them in, really.
And it's not obviously not just either the scoring from the back as well. You know, Pierce Fagan's got so many goals this season, and Jordan Moore-Taylor tripped in with a few, and that's sort of proving really important this season.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think anyone in the team can score, really. We're all fairly decent finishers, so yeah, it doesn't really come as a surprise to me.
And next up, Cambridge, obviously, you know, another big game with the way the season's going.
Yeah, I think we just got to keep building on our, you know, performances. Another great win today, and you know, last 6-7 games, we've just got to try and win every single game and battle as hard as we can.
And for you personally, how have you found the sort of last few weeks? I mean, especially sort of because you came into the side against Mansfield earlier in the season, dropped back out, but sort of this prolonged run of games you've had now.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me personally, it's just trying to keep my place in the team and do the best for the team, you know, and hopefully try and get extra promoted.
And I guess with the experience you got next to you with the likes of Dean Moxey as well, you know, must be nice to have players like that to call the
ball. Yeah, I mean, you know, even the lads who haven't played as much games, everyone's been helpful and, you know, sort of supported me in various situations. So yeah, everyone's been decent.
And how have the coaching staff been during your time?
Yeah, but I mean, they're always helpful and they always give good advice. I know Mel works particularly hard on set pieces and stuff like that, so it's always nice to grab a goal.
That was Jordan Story there, whose winner against Cheltenham means City are now 5 points off third place with a game in hand, though, you know, all to play for in the sort of realms of automatic promotion. When a couple of weeks ago, maybe about a month or so ago, it was a bit more doom and gloom, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's still, you know, Wickham, they are still grinding out these results. They're picking up the wins, and, you know, Exeter, it's not in their own hands. They've got to rely on some slip-ups from Wickham. You know, you're probably looking, they're going to actually, two games they're going to have to drop points in, you think, minimum, because Exeter, it's unlikely they'll win all remaining six games, I think. I think this weekend is a pretty big game actually for Exeter, because Wickham aren't actually playing. They just play Lincoln, who are in the Chequer Trade Trophy final. So they've got the weekend to try and catch up. And if this essentially becomes the game in hand, if you drop points, and it's all of a sudden you're then 4 points off with a much worse goal difference without a game in hand, and that looks a lot tougher. So you've got to sort of think that Exeter, they've got to keep winning to keep up the pressure. And Wickham, obviously, have got Lincoln to play. They've got a game against Accrington to play as well. So they've got a few fixtures, a couple of fixtures where they might drop points. But other than that, I think they've got to go to Chesterfield as well, right? But near the end of the season, he'll be fighting for their lives. But they've got a couple of I think they've got Stevenage at home on the last day, and that's the kind of fixture you'd probably have a home banker in. So you're sort of running out of time for Exeter to catch Wickham, but it is still there. Exeter probably need 18 points to go. You're probably looking maybe 15 points, 13 minimum. I think you probably, 4 wins and a draw is the worst I think Exeter could get away with and still get automatic promotion. I think Luton's win on Monday was a big win for them, because that just sort of ease any doubts that they were, could be caught by the sides below them. So you're sort of looking, okay, we can still catch Wickham, but they're going to need to start dropping points soon. But, looking back over the shoulder, now back to 6 points to eighth spot with only 6 games to go, and you'd be very disappointed not to, come away with at least 7th at the end of the season, particularly given the run-in that City have got. Gives you games that you'd expect to be winning as well, so you can almost start to look ahead and go, okay, right, we're definitely going to be, or not definitely, but 99%, we're going to be in the playoffs. We're going to have that experience. Okay, what went right last season? What went wrong last season? And try and learn from that. Try and build on that. But they've got to keep winning to put the pressure on Wickham, and hope that they slip. They have. Been a little bit fallible recently, but they've come back to win games where they necessarily I think they were looking great at the weekend when they were losing to Grimsby and turned it around to get the win. So I think it is still all to play for, but that Wickham, if they keep winning, it's going to eventually run out of time for City to catch them.
Jamie, 6 points ahead of 8th, do you think that's close in the bad time?
You would like to think so, although this is League Two, so anything can happen. You just got to look at that Coventry Oval score Monday. Like Daniel said, you'd be disappointed to falter from here, but I don't know, just can't take anything for granted, really. We're sat here after the Morecambe defeat when you're outside the playoffs and it's looking like, are we actually going to make the playoffs now? And now all of a sudden it's looking, are we not going to, get automatic promotion? So, you'd feel that this should be there. But a defeat on Saturday puts it back to 3 points. And then you've got teams like Colchester who've come into form lately. And, obviously City have got them on the last day of the season. So, it just takes like a run of 2 or 3 wins on the bouts and all of a sudden you're up there. And as we've seen with Mansfield and Notts County, in a way that they've been on a bit of a rotten run of form, and I think Mansfield have slipped out of the playoffs, and Notts County are in danger of doing the same as well. So I'm not going to take anything for granted until it's official, really, to be honest. It does put a nice bit of breathing space there, but Lincoln were sort of flirting with the playoffs for a lot of the season, and now they're looking pretty good for it. And based on what I saw on Good Friday, you'd back them to be in there. But it just shows that Coventry won a good run, and then getting thrashed by Yeovil at home, it just shows how unpredictable League Two is, and has been for a number of years. So. You'd like to think it would be there. It's obviously in City's hands. Still got that game in hand as well, and it is a favourable run enough games, but as history suggests, playing teams with nothing or little to play for doesn't always guarantee 3 points. So it's going to be interesting. I would like to think automatic promotion is still on. It's still, you know, obviously out of their hands. It's basically win or bust, I think. You know, you'd like to think that they would need to go undefeated for the rest of the season and win most of those games. Wickham have shown that they can be quite fragile, losing, was it, 5-2 at home to Morecambe a couple of weeks ago. And as Daniel said, Grimsby were beating them, but then turned it around. So, yeah, I think the playoffs should be secure. Don't quote me on that in case the worst happens. But, yeah, still very much all to play for me.
So I spoke with Paul Tisdale on Monday, looking ahead to this week's trip to Cambridge United. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, we're hoping Harley and Holmes. We're hoping for this weekend, so very clearly we're hoping for next weekend too. So Troy Brown's making good progress. He's a question. I think he'll be travelling with us, Troy Brown. And then say Harley and Holmes. We're hoping also. So yeah, and Kyle Edwards. We'll be speaking to West Brom and see whether he's gone back for treatment for a week or two. Again, we're hoping that he'll be around. So we could have 3 or 4 players back in contention.
And what's the issue with Cole?
His knee, he had a sore knee sort of 2 months ago. We've managed it. He's had an injection. He's come back. It hasn't really cleared up. So he's gone back to West Brom for a couple of weeks to try to he's been playing with pain and it's sort of getting worse again. So we're just trying to manage that.
And I guess, as you mentioned, the high-quality problem to have is, you know, these players coming out, being out injured, coming back into the side, but perhaps not being able to get into the side because the team's been doing so well.
Yeah, it's you know, from my point of view, it's picking a team that can deliver the skill sets that I need mentally and physically for the game in hand. I mean, Lloyd James, for example, I'm really pleased with him today. He played out of position, in a position he's not used to, but he was a big factor for me in our delivery today. Set pieces, you can see, took most of the set pieces, delivered the set piece for the goal. So it's about having players in the team that can do the things you need to do that are going to make the difference. And I thought he did really well today, considering he's out of position and he hasn't played a lot recently. That should give him a lot of heart, really.
So we heard that Holmes and Harley likely to be returning for Cambridge, and Troy Brown is travelling with the squad. How do you change things up?
It's an interesting one. I think, you know, you look at that team on Monday, made quite a few changes, obviously, with, you know, Lloyd James starting on the right wing, which got a mixed reaction. I didn't think he was particularly great, but then I didn't think that was his fault because he was playing on the right wing, whereas you, Dave, thought he did pretty well.
Yeah, he set up the winner and he put in quite a few dangerous crosses. Yeah, he's not the quickest of players and not the trickiest of players, but... You know, I think his delivery was fantastic, and you know, with Stock and Simpson in there and Tilson coming in as well, you know, three players in the box who can win headers there, and you know, what City have been lacking all season is that sort of player who will put the ball into the box like James did.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. But I think when it was 1-1 at Cheltenham, the crowd were crying out for some energy because it was getting a bit sort of flat, and in a way, you know, when you've got Simpson and Stockley playing up front, there's only so much you can do. So, you know, they were crying out for Matt Jay or Kane Wilson to inject some energy. So Lee Holmes obviously provides that. You know, so it'd be good to see him back. Ryan Harley, perhaps, although, you know, it'll be hard for him to get back into the team because Boateng's been brilliant the last sort of few weeks. For me, he's been arguably the City's best player the last month or so, and you know, Tilson's really upped his game lately. He's, you know, putting classic, typical Tilson performances, getting stuck in and having a few wounds to show for it as well. So it'll be difficult for those two to get back in. If Troy Brown travels, will he play? Perhaps unlikely. It might be a bit soon. Might make the bench. So you think, you know, Story and Moxie will start at the centre backs as well with Sweeney. Perhaps going for, you know, a back 3 or 5 again. So yeah, I'd almost be tempted to play perhaps an unchanged team for Cheltenham. perhaps stick Lloyd-Jones back into, you know, the centre of midfield and perhaps get Lee Holmes back on the wing. But yeah, I'd be hesitant to make too many changes, to be honest.
Daniel, your prediction for the game?
I think it's going to be a fairly tight game. I think a lot of teams, obviously, I think we saw Cambridge, it was the opening day of the season, and Anthony Exeter won 1-0 with a very early goal. But I was, you know, I'm a little bit disappointed in Cambridge this season, because I thought they look quite good actually on the opening day, and I thought they'd be much higher up the table and around the playoffs. I think perhaps a lot, and they've obviously lost Luke Berry, which, you know, is probably a big blow to them. But, you know, with the strike force, Jabo Abire and Uche Pezo, they're a very physical presence up there. So he might be looking, you know, if Troy Brown's fit enough, just to come in as a third centre half, or Troy Archibald Henville as a role we've seen, you know, sort of man marking job on the big man, to try and deal with that this season. So I'm not expecting to be too many goals in it. I think it's going to be quite tight. I think Exeter might just nick it 2-1.
Jeremy?
Yeah, it's a difficult one. Like Daniel said, I think they were well backed, Cambridge, to be up there at the start of the season. But I think City are on a decent run, playing quite well. So I'm going to go for a comfortable 2-0 win.
Oh, 2-0. I will go 1-0, because that's been the score of, I think, four of the last 5 meetings between the two sides. I think 1-0, so I'll go 1-0 to City. Well, thanks for joining us on this week's edition of Greetings Gossip. I guess tune in next week and keep an eye out on Saturday to see if we were right.